Are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
Let me tell you something, brother. If you're looking for the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be in the podcasting universe, then look no further than Ring the Bell, bringing you the best in the world at what we do. And what we do is take over the world of wrestling reviews, baby. Now, ring the bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. Yes, it's another show. It's six shows in 6 days. This wasn't going to happen, but then Raw took place last night, and it was so bad, so bad, that we felt compelled to do another show to tell you just how bad it was. Who is the We Were Talking? It's me, myself. I'm your host, Andrew. With me once again, it's Ali.
How are we, fella?
I'm speechless. Like, we had a great first night of Mania. We had an okay second night, but not as good as the first, but still a good enough show in its own right. We had a cracking main event to finish in a triple threat, and it was positive. I think we sounded quite positive on the review show yesterday. It was happy. It was, the horizons were looking quite good coming out of WrestleMania and everything, and then Raw happened, and I don't know what to do now.
100%, mate. We've had a really solid 7 days of wrestling. For a Monday, I thought Raw was quite good. Probably their best one in a long time.
SmackDown was amazing last week.
SmackDown, incredible.
SmackDown's always good.
Yep, brilliant. We had NXT, phenomenal. Even the criticism, any criticism we had in night one and night two, there was more positives even in individual matches. So, mm-hmm. It was fine. So then you come into the new season of Raw. Monday Night Raw after Mania is usually, full of bells and whistles. Now, I get it was always going to be different because back to the Thunderdome, no fans.
But it was a new Thunderdome, wasn't it? They're in a new location now. And they put more screens in there. There's screens by the entrance now. But other than that, it was the same old thing.
Yeah, and it was just abysmal. We'll come into it as we go along, but I'm going to struggle for positives through this. I'm just a spoiler alert.
How can a company that put on a weekly consistently good SmackDown and a consistently good NXT, and for those that are still sleeping on it, a consistently good NXT UK, three shows a week they are consistently good at. But then on a Monday night, they throw all of that out the fucking window and put this bollocks on every week. Because this isn't the first. This isn't but it's a one-off. It's not. This is the norm, but this seemed worse because it was after Mania.
Yeah, I'm again for an overall show, I'm lost for words, but I mean, we can definitely come on to it more individually as we go through it. But I don't know what it is. Too many cooks, maybe on Raw.
I don't know. Well, it's only Vince. I think that's the problem. There's no cooks.
Well,
you've got all these cooks throwing ideas, and Pritchard won't seem to allow them through, and then Vince. Yeah, there's nothing. That's the problem. Right. The show started with the champion, the almighty Bobby Lashley, fresh off, surprisingly, retaining his WWE Championship at WrestleMania. He gets confronted in the backstage area by Riddle. Long story short, they have a match. It kicks off Monday Night Raw. And Lashley basically squashed the former US champion in 10 minutes.
Yeah, when I seen the backstage for this bit, I was genuinely quite excited. I thought they could have had a head to toe, back and forth, really hard battle. I thought Bobby would still win it convincingly, but it would have been more of a fight than it was, and then it would have added some credibility to Riddle after losing the title. But basically, Riddle be as well going back to NXT because there's no way he can bounce back from here. Yes, it makes Bobby look strong, and it was a surprise that he kept his title, and it's good. I'm glad Bobby's the champion, 100%. But was there a need for this?
I saw a report over the weekend, yesterday, that Riddle was never supposed to be US champion to start with. They only gave it to him because they had to get the belt off Lashley at Fastlane. Mm-hmm. So Keith Lee was out for some reason. We still don't know. And Keith Lee still vanished. So Riddle got the belt. He wasn't supposed to have the belt. And losing to Sheamus kind of just corrected it again. So Riddle has never really been a focus. So This could be it. Like, this is now going to be just backstage, like R-Truth, on his scooter, acting like a stoner. This is Riddle's future now.
Yeah. Again, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, contract wise, and is the money?
I think he recently signed a new deal, so he's there long term.
Yeah, so is the money worth it for these guys to do such a thing, or could That's you maybe? Question. You know, he's not a big enough star like Finn did. You know, like Balor going back to NXT. Not everyone's going to get to do that. So, unfortunately, this might see, as you say, him just stuck in backstage segments and squash matches and thrown together back with the Lucha, what's their name? The Lucha House Party.
Probably, yeah. Ricochet, Riddle, House Party, the Ninja, Tozawa. That's going to be his feature, I think.
Yeah, and it's a shame because it's a waste of talent. I know. Like, not many people, again, yourself included, don't like the gimmick that he's portrayed. But in-ring, bell-to-bell, he's phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen that. Mania was good with Sheamus.
Yeah.
The guy can go when he's not having to be who he's supposed to be backstage. You know, it's so frustrating, but he's not the only one. Speaking of which, more wasted talent. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, they're still a tag team. They're not in the Hurt Business anymore, but they're still a team. They're still wearing the colours of the Hurt Business, but they're not in the Hurt Business anymore. But we don't need to obviously be told any more about that. They lost quite convincingly to the Viking Raiders, who returned shockingly on Raw last night. It's good to see a tag team back, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. But do you see them going anywhere with them?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So,
I mean, just a note, the brand new Raw tag team champions, AJ Styles and Omos, weren't even on the show last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they were mentioned, but it doesn't spring to mind that there was even a celebration of them being champions.
Nothing. There was nothing at all.
And that tag match was perfect, the way to even highlight them, you know, even during a spot where the guys are down, you know, show a quick image or...
Well, aren't the Raiders former tag team champions? I'm sure the Raiders have won the belts at some point before. So you could have had the Raiders, former tag team champions. They're big, they're strong, they're back, they're focused again, they're determined, they're coming for the titles. Just do a backstage shot of AJ and Omos looking confident, look to scouting future opponents.
Yeah.
Is that really that difficult?
It's just, again, I think this will be the running story of the whole podcast here, Andrew.
Right, up next, it's happened. We thought it was going to come before Mania. It didn't. We escaped it. But it's finally happened. Charlotte Flair is back and she's already on top of the women's division. So she cuts a promo, semi-shoot, semi-worked. It seems the way she was trying to put it across, where she was talking about how the whole women's locker room was happy she missed Mania and basically self-aggrandizing, I'm brilliant, I'm Charlotte Flair promo, I'm a multi-time world champion. And she basically laid out that she is here to take over again. She's put everyone on notice. She put Asuka on notice. She put the new women's champion, Rhea Ripley, on notice. And I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I'll maybe actually throw in a point. The promo was very good.
The promo was very well delivered. It was delivered well. I'll give it that. She does have a demeanor that is instantly unlikable. You just think, I don't like you. She has a way of getting that across. I'm sure she's a lovely person outside the ring. I'm sure she is. But when you look on TV, you hate her. And that's credit to her for that. And the promo is well delivered.
But the problem is we still hate her.
because Rhea has just won the belt. And tonight, as we've gotten to shortly, she's defending the belt in a rematch, which I thought won't happen anymore, against Asuka. But the problem is once Charlotte's back and she's around, the spectre is always looming over every single female wrestler. And Rhea's never going to be on top because Charlotte's there. And that is the problem.
Yeah, I don't know your thoughts on like intergender stuff in the wrestling ring, and it's harder to do obviously in 2021. But I'd like to see her portrayed in the China role and let her get mixed up in other ones, just because when she's in that women's division, as you say, she casts a shadow over all of them, whether she's champ or not. It's all about Flair.
I think the problem is you're always waiting for her to win. You know at some point she's going to get the belt again. There isn't like a chase or she's a baby. She can't be a babyface. She's too unlikable. She's got to be a heel. So you're just waiting where she is going to win the belt. There's no mystery. There's no like, oh, will she, won't she? Well, she will. She absolutely will again. The drama's gone.
How many reigns has she had? As
12, she... I think now, 13.
And 7 years? Six, seven years,
yeah. Yeah.
That's scary.
That's almost two a year. Yep. Two reigns a year. I mean, that's... And the thing is, she's faced everyone. Like, she had a feud with Rhea last year. She's done that. She's beaten Asuka. She's feuded with Becky for a lengthy amount of time. She's had feuds with Bayley. She's had feuds with she had Ronda Rousey feud. All the major female talent, Nia Jax, she had a rivalry with at some point. All the major female talent on the roster, Charlotte's feuded with them or had matches with them.
Yeah.
There's nobody left. There's nobody left for her. There's a fresh matchup. Not unless you can't bring us. I mean, Bianca is the fresh one, but I don't want to see Charlotte and Bianca anywhere near each other anytime soon. Bianca needs that time to grow as a performer, as a champion. Don't put her in the Charlotte thing right now.
Yep.
But who else is there other than Bianca that Charlotte could be paired with in a acceptable, oh, this is an intriguing scenario. There's no one.
Yeah, there really isn't, apart from, well, no, there isn't. Because we spoke about it in the last few podcasts. You know, you've got the upper echelon women, and then unfortunately there's a massive, massive gap, and you can't put Charlotte in the ring with some of these girls.
No. They've created an environment where you've got a good talent base of female wrestlers that people are willing to invest in and cheer in and get emotionally involved with. But then you've got Charlotte, who they put on a pedestal above the division. So it's babyfaces, heels, and Charlotte supersedes all of them. And as long as that status quo is there with Charlotte, you're always going to get the resentment. And being in the Thunderdome, the resentment doesn't count because you can pipe in a cheer, you can pipe in a boo. Come August, around the time, I think it's when they're planning to have crowds again for like SummerSlam and the TV shows, that's where it's going to start to tell. Because at the moment, Charlotte's going to be a heel because they just push that boo button and they get what they want. They don't care about the viewers. They've made that very clear with last night's show. The ratings can be as low as they are and nothing changes. So if you don't like Charlotte, get used to seeing a lot of what you don't like, I think.
Unfortunately so, yeah. I think I'd imagine Backlash, she wins the title back.
WrestleMania Backlash, I think we're going to... And WrestleMania Backlash is an awful pay-per-view name. I hate the idea of it. Backlash used to be the post-Mania rematches show. Subtle, though. Yeah, I mean, come on. You might as well just say, we're going to milk the WrestleMania name for a bit more. Here, WrestleMania Back... What's next? WrestleMania Judgment Day? WrestleMania No Way Out? So you're just merging pay-per-views now.
Yeah.
WrestleMania Money in the Bank. That could be a thing.
Oh, please. This is... it's just so abysmal. And you wonder why people do get critical of WWE and then it bleeds into shows that don't deserve the hate. But then when... Because obviously there's none of the other shows are perfect. So when they have a bad thing, it's then amplified because of how bad the likes are Raw and some of the decisions are. And
that's we're flicking over the SmackDown, seeing the Tribal Chief being like the biggest guy. And we gushed over Roman on the podcast yesterday how fucking good that guy is. And he's only 35. And that's terrifying as a viewer that we've got another 10 years, in a good way, 10 more years of Roman being this good. It's like, oh God, yeah, I'll have all of that. Then you switch on to Raw and you think, same company, same head of creative, same mindset you have to feel. So how do they get it so different and so wrong? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Asuka and Rhea have a really good match. Not quite as good as the Mania match, but I think it's a different situation. Obviously, no fans in the arena made a difference as well. Then Charlotte got involved inevitably. Match went to an ODQ. And yeah, I think it's obvious it's going to lead into a triple threat at WrestleMania Backlash. So yeah, it's just how really a case of when they're going to put the belt back on Charlotte, I think.
Yeah, and I'd be very surprised if it isn't actually Backlash. I mean, worst case scenario, you'd say, or best case for me, would be SummerSlam. You know, you could keep it on Rhea.
Because it would be nice to build Rhea. Build Rhea as a threat for the next 6 months. Let her have her time. Don't take it off her straight away.
If they put it back on Charlotte back that quickly, doesn't that just kill the women's division?
Absolutely. It does. Yeah. And what's the point? Asuka was treated as an afterthought for the last year. Asuka carried the company through the initial PC era of, you know, the post-pandemic kind of start and all the performance center shows. Asuka was the MVP in those performance center shows. And look at how she's been treated as thanks for that. Nothing. Left off pay-per-views, not given any credit for... Becky got fucking red carpets rolled at every show. Asuka didn't even get a mention half the time as women's champion.
Yeah. You didn't even know she was the women's champion. She was thrown in tag teams at some points. And...
Just... Okay. After that, it was the A-list with The Miz and John Morrison. The special guest was Maryse making her return. And then Damien Priest got involved. His Bad Bunny's now gone. Triple H sent him on his way with his microphone, and he's gone now for the foreseeable. Again, we already miss you, Bunny. I'm not going to lie. Come back. We want you back. Never thought I'd say that, but come back. This ended up being a handicap match. Damien Priest, as a brave baby face, yeah, I'll take you all on. That's good. That's a good start for a baby face. Take on all comers. Don't be afraid. Miz and Morrison are in their suits, so they're not dressed to wrestle. Miz has got fucking slip-on shoes on, for fuck's sake. And they still beat Damien Priest.
Yeah.
What's going on?
And the Miz pinned him in his pants, just to point out, just a pair of pants, because what these trousers were ripped off. Well, if we praised Bad Bunny and Damien Priest for making Priest look good at Mania and spotlighting all, right on him, and the Miz doing his job, well, that's all gone now. Just whatever respect and light that Damien Priest had coming out of Mania and starting this new season of WWE Raw, done.
And to make it worse, it was a roll-up, which is the most lazy finish there's been around the years. A Maryse distraction, a sneaky roll-up, as they put it, and Miz wins. I mean, would it have... First off, why does it have to carry on the feud? Why do we still need the Miz and Priest? Like, even though Priest didn't get the pinfall on Saturday at Mania, he was involved in the win. You know, that was it. Give him something new to do. Why are we going back to this?
When I was watching this, I actually thought I was going to have my first positive thing to say on the show, because obviously when they were doing Miz TV with Maryse, you could sense the tension between Miz and Morrison. You could almost sense a breakup coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fine, great. And then when
Priest Morrison praise Bunny, Miz get annoyed, they have a bit of a fight, there's your split. Morrison's well, baby face, Miz is the heel, there's your mid-card feud. Done. Well,
even in the 2-on-1, you're like, yeah, perfect. Like, have Morrison cost him the match.
Yeah.
Have Priest pin Miz, Morrison cost him, or have Morrison take the pin and Miz turn on him for losing, for embarrassing him.
It's not difficult. This is not difficult. This is easy stuff to write. It's been done, but not, this isn't groundbreaking. This has been done many times before over many, many years with different people. So if we can think about doing it again, surely they can.
And in The Miz, you have one of the most natural good heels in wrestling. When Miz is on his own, especially when he's got Maryse beside him, he might be the best heel in wrestling. Because people just don't like him because of who The Miz is.
You could put him in a ring with Hitler and he'd still get booed more.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, you can make anyone a babyface if they're in the ring with the Miz.
Yep.
And that's not a knock on Miz, that's appraising him, that's how good a heel he is.
Yeah.
But same as Charlotte in some ways. So why don't they... I don't know. But if that's not frustrating enough and that's not annoying enough, you know, we need some sort of palate cleanser to how stupid this is. Let's go to Alexa Bliss, shall we? At Mania, night two, after a big build-up, nearly 6 months feuding, obviously back at TLC in December, The Fiend was burned alive, so Randy Orton did a murder on TV. No police action, obviously, just there you go. There's been all sorts of stuff. There's been fire, there's been oil coming from mouths and black ooze and all sorts of stuff. The Fiend is back with the burnt stuff. He showed up at Mania. Great entrance. He's back in his old look. New creepier mask. Loses to a single RKO in 6 minutes. But as shit as that was, we tried to stay positive on the pod yesterday. And we said, no, but how are they going to follow up? Like, yes, it's a setback as a viewer and how we think it should have gone. But let's wait till Raw, because they can do some supernatural spooky shit and turn this all around and we're back on board again. And then they didn't, because the feud's over. The feud is over with one RKO in a 6-minute match, because Alexa put a crown of thorns on her head and covered her face with oozy black stuff.
I don't know what to add to that. This was the thing that has kept Raw going for 5 months.
So those that loved it, and obviously yourself, me, Ross, you know, we're all a fan of the sort of the supernatural spooky bollocks, you know, we loved it. And it was a part of the show that we were looking forward to. And we were so anticipated for the Fiend stuff at Mania, and we marked out over the entrance. And this is how they follow up. They ended the feud. Like, Orton killed him 4 months ago, and he won the feud. He was the heel. He was the heel.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I could have been okay with Randy winning last night, Sunday night, sorry. Had it been done better, not just a one RKO. I would have been okay with Alexa then turning on Bray last night, you know, and then they can go on with whatever type of story that they're going to try and portray now. I was optimistic that they could redeem themselves because of the supernatural stuff. I don't care where they go now. I don't care how good it gets. It's done for me. They've ruined it for me. And I know that's almost petty that it's really good, but they've killed the feud, which didn't make any sense the way they've done it. They've split it. They tried to explain it last night. I don't know if I'm missing something, but I don't get it. Time to bring just Bray Wyatt and back and do something different, because for me, it just doesn't work anymore.
So there's been a lot of reports over the last 24 hours or so concerning the Mania match with Fiend and Orton. Now, from what we can gather, from what we've seen and read and everything, the plan was Fiend would go over, whether that was a squash, whether that was a cinematic match, whether that was a lengthy 10-minute match, whatever the case was, the Fiend was going to go over. Sunday afternoon, so we're talking hours before the show, Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard decided, no, that's not going to work, and they switched it. Orton was to win the match. The feud was to be over. That was it. A major part of Raw for the last 4 or 5 months was ended on a whim hours before the biggest show of the year. How does that happen?
It's abysmal. Like, we don't need, when a story's been going on that long, we need a payoff to the story. Not a change in the story at WrestleMania. That's not how WrestleMania works. WrestleMania is the season finale.
Fiend was the babyface. The whole face heel thing was ridiculous in the feud anyway. But sensibly, if you still want to bring it down to a base level, good guy versus bad guy, Fiend was the good guy because Orton was the really bad guy who set a man on fire and killed him. Fiend comes back, reincarnates himself, I guess, changes look back to original Fiend, loses to a single RKO, and doesn't get any kind of revenge or retribution. Like, if anything, Alexa got more revenge because she actually pinned Randy Orton at Fastlane.
Yeah, pretty much. Just anybody listening, just stop this here, rewind it back 30 seconds and listen to that again, and let us know, please tell me if it makes any sense to you, because I mean, we're talking about the supernatural here, so this is how bad it's got.
Yep. So Alexa's backstage in Alexa's playground. She's on the swing set. This is obviously on Raw now. Talking about, she thought WrestleMania was fun. She assumed everyone wondered why she did what she did, and she cost the Fiend the match. She said she was a little girl being lost until she was rescued by someone, the Fiend. They showed like video clips and stuff.
Yep.
Who told the darkness, and the darkness nurtured her and taught her everything he knew. But then the darkness went away, and they showed a clip of Randy Orton and burned him alive. Bliss then sort of wondered out loud about, is that when the little girl realised that she never needed the darkness after all? And did she realise that the girl could do everything on her own? And was the darkness helping, or was it just standing in her way? And why would she use that to try and destroy the darkness? She then asked, is the female species the deadliest? And that something truly evil had been unlocked. And then she introduced us to her new friend sitting on the swing next to her, Lily, a doll.
Oh,
what the fuck is going on here?
I don't know.
And then also, the doll did this like a jump scare kind of thing where it snapped at the camera.
Yeah.
What? Like, I know it's supernatural, and that extent, you obviously have to disbelieve, suspend all that bollocks. But What is going on here?
I mean, let's try and think positively here, okay?
Supernatural. Good luck.
Nonsense. Let's just try. So they try to give them a credit, stupidly, but they've tried to explain the situation. Obviously, we come on to the Firefly Funhouse later on in the show.
Alexa's wondering if she actually is in control and she doesn't need the darkness. I get that. You know, the darkness was there. The fiend was there. The fiend went away. She's left on her own. So, like, an abandonment thing. I kind of get what they're telling with her. Carry on, sorry.
No. Just my main thinking is, obviously, we've got all the story. How do we pay off this? Do we get a Fiend Bray Wyatt v Alexa Bliss match? Is this what what's leading to?
I'm actually thinking that the Fiend and Alexa as a team or as any kind of like rivalry is done. Purely based on the Bray Wyatt segment later, which we'll get to. I wonder if they're actually splitting the two up.
I'm fine with that, but how you can't keep Alexa on the same story type arc. It needs to come off it. You can't have two running simultaneously, no?
I wouldn't have thought so. I don't get how you could have two characters who embrace the darkness, assuming that the Bray Wyatt thing is the Fiend, they're going to continue the Fiend in some form or fashion. How do you not have them interact? Trying to fucking make sense of this when clearly they don't even know what they're doing. The doll, Lily, what? Why? What? I don't know. I don't know.
And this is why, so like the doll's like perfect, like contract, or whatever word I'm trying to say. But, you know, the Fiend Bray Wyatt's got all his dolls and all his toys. So it's literally just the same. It's the exact same. So if you're splitting them up, fine. But doesn't Alexa almost have to go back to being Alexa?
You would think so, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know.
That's exactly how we feel. I mean, yeah, like, again, anybody listening, if you have other ideas, if you have thoughts and...
Please tell us. Help us.
Yeah, we'll let you know at the end of the show the best way, but... Yeah, please just, if you've got any theories, hit us up.
Okay, up next, women's tag team champions Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler took on Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke in a non-title match. I don't care, so I'm going to gloss over it, and this is no disrespect to the women involved. Nia Jax now falls over, mocking the Mandy Rose slip from WrestleMania. They were funny, they thought they were funny, they fell over, and they won via countout. That's it. That's basically all I'm going to give you.
Yeah. Without being sexist, thank God for Dana and Mandy's outfits, because it's the most positive thing out of this segment.
Up next, MVP's in the ring for a almighty ceremony celebration. Obviously, Lashley retained the belt at Mania and beating Riddler in the evening. MVP put over Drew Warrior as a warrior. So Drew McIntyre obviously challenging Lashley. McIntyre came out, basically still wants the championship, obviously. Braun Strowman came out, obviously the voice of the stupid. He came out really, really pleased that he beat Shane McMahon, like to the point where it's like, you beat a 50-year-old man. That's not that much to be proud of. Like, you're still stupid, though. So that obviously was still established. You're just a really powerful, strong, stupid person. Basically what I'm getting from this. He wants, obviously, a piece of the championship as well. MVP told McIntyre that McIntyre now goes to the very back of the line and has to fight his way back to the front. We'll get back to that comment very shortly, because Randy Orton now comes out and 6 months' worth of storytelling with the feud is literally ended with one line from Orton, which he says, "The Fiend and Alexa Bliss are finished. That means no more mind games for him." That's it. You've written off an entire feud with that sentence.
And to be fair, that for Randy's side of things, perfect.
How does he know they're finished? Like, okay, they disappeared after Mania, but Alexa was literally backstage. She was in the playground, so Alexa's still there. So they're not finished, are they? They're not gone. I don't know. So Orton wants a shot. So we've got McIntyre, who again, MVP says at the very back of the line now, Orton wants a shot because he did win at Mania after all. Strowman wants a shot and he did win at Mania. So, you know, they got rights to challenge. Adam Pearce comes out. and books a triple threat match in the main event, and the winner faces Lashley at WrestleMania Backlash. So McIntyre, at the very back of the queue, is now in a match to win a title shot.
Adam Pearce is the new Terry Long.
I'd like to be at the back of the queue if that's how good it is. But fine, put me at the back of the queue. Okay. Back of the queue, number one contenders match.
Yeah, yeah, just poor choice of words from MVP, who has genuinely been an MVP in his time since he's been.
Why script him to say that and then have Adam Pearce come out and go, McIntyre, you're in the title, you're in a number one contenders match? Yeah. What are you doing? Like, do they have the same person writing the scripts? Or is it just like, you write his script, you write his script, and we won't read them. We won't won't check them. Like,
no, we didn't compare, no.
Fuck's sake. Right, up next, New Day beat Elias and Jackson Riker. That got as much time as it deserved. Again, no tag team champions won this show, so New Day had nothing to do other than just to win, because I guess they had to get their heat back after losing at Mania, I guess, even though they're Teflon. They're over.
They're 50-50 booking, aren't they?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Orton was backstage. He said he's been distracted for the last 6 months. There's your payoff. Distracted. Not like burnt a man to death, had fire thrown at me, black ooze come from my mouth. Just distracted. And it ended at Mania. Again, Orton decided it's over because he won. It's over. It's done. That's it. He wants a title shot, obviously. Then we had the fun Firefly Hunt House. Bray Wyatt, the sweater vest wearing Bray Wyatt, is back with his true friends, he said. He's back there with Ramblin' Rabbit and Abby the Witch. And he kissed Ramblin' Rabbit. Okay. Then he threw the puppet away. He said he feels great. It's the start of something new, a new season, a new Bray Wyatt. He feels reborn. Then he said it'll all be fine because he will return. And that was the end of the segment.
Yep.
Is the he the Fiend?
We assume so, yeah. The Fiend must be the one, let him in, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the Fiend can technically just carry on. He's the, you know, he's the Jason of the Halloween series. You know, you just, doesn't matter how many times you kill him and he keeps coming back. The Witch was the star of Raw. I thought it was quite funny, the comments that she was making. But, I mean, until we see where it's going to go, as I said, it leaves a sour taste, but they can definitely do something with the Fiend. The confusion and where it's not going to tally up and work out is how Alexa still fits into it, still portraying the same character. It just doesn't make sense.
I assume the comments by Abby the Witch about Alexa means that there is still going to be some sort of thing with Alexa. She did abandon the Fiend. So you would assume if he is indeed the Fiend, the Fiend's going to have some sort of issue with Alexa when or if he returns. So I guess that means it continues. But right now, Bray doesn't seem that bothered by Alexa. Alexa's got Lily. That's a sentence I'm saying. So, like, they're the same character.
I know.
They're currently not involved with each other.
I know. We're going to get a mixed tag match. Bray.
Against who?
Bray and the Witch against Lolly and Alexa.
To be fair, they did Vince McMahon against God and Shawn Michaels at a Backlash, so Backlash wouldn't be the worst place to have some of that bollocks happen.
I'm all for it. They've redeemed themselves. If they set up Lolly and the Witch in a tag match with Bray and Alexa, I'm all for it. Sign me up.
There you go. We found the redeeming way out of this. Give us the puppets against each other at Backlash. WrestleMania Backlash. And cinematic, they can do it because they can tape it close in their thing and they don't have to, you know, so it's easy to do a puppet versus puppet match. Job done.
Oh, I can't believe I suggested that. Sorry.
And also, you're welcome, WWE. We'll happily see what we've just told you in a month's time at Backlash. Right, main event time, triple threat match. Back of the queue, remember? A back of the queue triple threat match. Winner gets a championship match at WrestleMania Backlash. Drew McIntyre taking on Randy Orton and Braun Strowman. Win 11 minutes. I quite enjoyed this, despite the fact that the whole time I knew who was going to win. I just knew.
Yeah. It was obvious Drew was going to win.
Not just because of the whole, like, you know, what, Lashley's a heel, so it's got to be a face that wins. No, because it could have been three faces in there. I still knew Drew was going to win because we knew Drew was going to get a title shot. We actually wondered, how do you get back to Drew versus Lashley? this is how. But it was obvious. And it therefore, it negates any quality of the match because you know who's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the fact that they've changed the name to WrestleMania Backlash.
Unbelievable.
I think we're all in agreement, all of us that ring the bell anyway, that it's almost going to be a carbon copy of WrestleMania, just cutting out certain matches.
Just we've added Charlotte.
Yeah, add Charlotte into the rear situation. We'll cut out the Randy and the Fiend stuff. Maybe take out the tag team turmoil stuff, just so we can get it all condensed into one night.
There's Backlash. There's WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, I've wrote the card for you, WWE. You're welcome.
Ali is fucking booking your shit at the moment, WWE. But he's all over this. Right, after the match, McIntyre obviously celebrating. MVP walked out on the stage just to interrupt. And then, as if the show couldn't get any worse, Retribution's T-Bar and Mace.
I forgot about this.
Attack McIntyre. Retribution split up 3 or 4 weeks ago. We've not heard from them since. T-Bar and Mace on the Raw after WrestleMania, ostensibly the biggest Raw of the year, a Retribution reject team attack the, I'm guessing, soon-to-be WWE champion and put him down with a double chokeslam while MVP watches from the stage. This could be the subtitle for the show, actually. I'm going to ask it again. What the fuck is going on here?
I totally forgot all about this and I'm not even going to say anything negative about it. This is just as if they're, I don't know, how this Retribution has gone on for 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah, it was almost a year because it wasn't too far into the PC era.
I'm not sure there's been a positive contribution.
It literally hasn't.
And now they're in, well, not in, but taking part in the main event of a show against your former champion, your arguably soon-to-be champion, number one contender. So what, are they part of the Hurt Business now? Is this they doing this on their own? Is this meant to be the story that we've got to, I wonder if MVP's hired them. If that's the case, why don't just keep Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin?
And also, if you're so intent on using these two guys, but Retribution are over, take the fucking masks off them. Like, ditch the... Dio Madden is a big guy who has a genuinely impressive physique and he's a good size. He's young. He's about 30 years old. He's got a good look to him. You know, yeah, you can ignore him as a commentator. Didn't happen. Don't care. But you could literally put him as a threat to McIntyre. Like, get rid of the stupid look. T-Bar, Dominik Dijakovic was amazing in NXT. Like, he was outstanding. His match with Keith Lee after Keith Lee won the championship was a double champ for that short time. Was brilliant. He was main roster ready. And you've chucked him under a mask as T-Bar, you got a chance to take him off from under that mask and put Dijakovic against Drew McIntyre. That's a good hoss fight. But you can't do that because he's wearing a stupid mask.
Yeah, it's like they really are trying to die on this hill of Retribution. You know, they got rid of the leader of Ali, which didn't make any sense either at the time, for just the two of them now to continue. I take it. What was the female's name?
Reckoning.
Yeah, what was her actual name?
Oh, Mia Yim.
Mia Yim, yeah. I take it she's no longer part of them.
She's nowhere to be seen. Like, she's since Retribution got disbanded, she's literally been nowhere to be seen.
Her and Keith Lee are banished together.
Seemingly, yes.
the name of the pod, the name of WWE's creative team, just what the fuck?
This is the Raw after Mania. And on this show, we've had no new tag team champions. Where was the US champ? Where's Sheamus?
Was he backstage?
I think he was backstage. But there was Riddle. Why is he not, like, what, I want my belt back. Sheamus, why is he not doing more to celebrate winning the US title at Mania? You know, where is more anything? The Fiend gets just destroyed, he's gone. Alexa Bliss is doing the fuck she is with Lily the Puppet. Randy Orton's completely forgotten about everything.
Remember, you used to get a surprise call up, or so was Charlotte a surprise?
I get, because there's no fans, the effect of having a big call up wouldn't be the same. And to that extent, I'm kind of okay with them not wasting like a surprise post Mania call up. Save that for the crowd. I'm kind of, yeah, whatever about that. But even without that kind of traditional post-Mania Raw occurrence, there was a better show to do here, and this wasn't it.
Just a show would have done. Genuinely a show. I would have rather been a repeat of a 2007 Raw.
There was a lot of positivity, and there was a lot of positives, and there was a lot of anticipation, and good morale, I think, amongst the WWE universe. Like, look at online reports and online comments about how good Mania was, overall, at least. But then this is what we get, and what would be even worse is, come Friday night on SmackDown, I bet they're going to put an absolute banger of a show with Roman Reigns as the champion, and Edge obviously looking for a bit of retribution, pardon the pun, and Daniel Bryan looking for the same, and the stories coming out of that SmackDown will be great. I predict it right now, SmackDown will be really good this week. And again, you'll have the question, how can one company that's the same put on such differing levels of quality in their shows?
Well, yeah, I mean, just look at the matches that weren't the best, you know, weren't the upper echelon of Raw, that were from WrestleMania that were Raw. So you had the women's tag and turmoil match. We praised the turmoil match. They'd done a good job. We weren't really harsh on the tag title match. We praised almost an AJ with a New Day, the type of match it was.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all just massive letdowns. Then you go to SmackDown, as you say, come Friday. You're going to get a Cesaro segment. You're arguably going to get a Seth segment, maybe getting a rematch with Cesaro leading to Backlash. Again, all fine. You're going to get probably the match we were the most critical on in Big E and Apollo. We're going to get that again. And then, as you say, you've got the Heyman, the Roman, Edge, Bryan, all these guys all going to be talking about Mania. It's all going to be centered around what happened.
And it'd be good. That's the difference. It'd be a good show that you would enjoy sitting down to watch and enjoy sitting down to talk about. Not what we got on Raw last night.
No, just abysmal. Like, if it hadn't been so bad, I think it would have turned it off. You know, it wasn't just a meh show. This was so bad, I had to keep watching. I'm sick.
On that bombshell... we didn't plan doing the show, but it was so bad last night that we were compelled to do this show. So basically what I said last night about the output we've had in the last 5 days, now 6 days, I repeat, obviously, but just now this show added on, 6 shows, 6 days. Thank you to everyone on our team for what they've done. Thank you again for all those listen. If you have any thoughts, feelings, or negative, of course, about last night's Raw, you can contact us in the normal ways on Facebook at Ring the Bell Show, on Twitter and Instagram, Ring the Bell Pod, and the email address of ringthebellpod@gmail.com. You can also leave a review over Apple Podcasts. And if you've earned it, a 5-star rating, that's the best way you can help us possible. And more important, you can share, you can like, you subscribe, you can recommend and do all those other social media things over Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Anchor. If you can get a podcast somewhere, you know we're going to find us there. Ali, any final words to wrap this one up?
No, not at all. Just if you haven't watched Raw, don't watch it. If you suffer from depression, definitely don't watch it. Just avoid Raw at all costs. NXT is on tonight.
Yep, if you NXT can get tonight.
NXT UK is still Wednesday, Andrew.
Thursday.
Yep. Thursday. Just hold on. I know you're not a massive fan, Andrew, but AEW will put on a good show on Wednesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to get 3 excellent shows.
And the SmackDown on Friday with the big dog, the tribal chief, the head of the table, celebrating his championship win.
Tuesday to Fridays, watch your wrestling. Just read the results on a Monday from now on, because that's what I'm going back to doing.
Wars lost viewers. And I'll be willing to see what the ratings are when they come out later today or tomorrow. And more importantly, the ratings breakdown as the show goes on, because I think it might start okay. I guarantee you it will go down as the show goes on. 100%. I'll be stunned if it doesn't.
Yeah. What is wrong with people if not?
Right. Okay. That is the end of our WrestleMania triumph, our WrestleMania in some ways slog. Definitely this show at least. 6 days, 6 shows. Once again, thank you to all involved. That's from myself, from all of us here at Ring the Bell, and to you, more importantly, the listeners, the fans. Without you, we couldn't do any of this. So thank you very much. This has been an awful, awful edition of Raw that we've tried to make better with our comments, all negative as they may have been. This has been Ring the Bell. I've been Andrew.
I've been Ali. Andrew.
Yep.
Ring that bell.